When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So, Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card. The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.
Hey everyone, we're going to dive into a topic today that literally affects every single one of us: inflammation. Now, before you think this is going to be like another scary health talk, I promise you it's not, okay? We're going to break this down in a way that's easy to understand and, more importantly, give you practical solutions that you can start using today. So whether you've kind of been dabbling with this or you don't even know what I mean by inflammation, this episode is for you. So what exactly is inflammation? You can think of it as your body's natural defense system, okay? So it's like an internal alarm that goes off when something's not quite right. And it's actually a good thing when it's working properly. It helps us heal from injuries or fight off infections. But here's kind of where it gets interesting. Chronic inflammation is like having an alarm system that is stuck in the on position, annoying as hell, and that's what we need to talk about. So, you know what's fascinating is that inflammation is actually the root of almost everything that kind of can go wrong in our bodies. It's like the common denominator in so many health issues that we face today. But the good news is that we have like more control over it than people realize. So let's break down a little bit about what is causing chronic inflammation in our lives. And more specifically, I would say in our modern lives, because there's a lot of things that technology has allowed us to be able to do with our work, like the work environment we have, where we're working like more desk jobs, with our food, the way that food is processed and made, that it can lead to inflammation in the body that maybe you have issues that you don't even know are related to inflammation. Like, we're breaking down an issue down to its root cause. So I'm just going to give you a little bit of information on what it is and ways that we can work around it. And maybe this might be like an aha moment episode for you. So the first thing is stress. Stress is actually the leading cause of inflammation. I giggled because that's such a generic thing to say, but it's true. Stress on different levels. Physical stress, such as you're working a job and you're very tired, you're not sleeping well, you're taking care of kids, and you have a physical stress on your body. Another physical stress could be working out, like the way we exercise, and that can affect the level of inflammation in our bodies. Stress like sickness, a stress on the immune system is considered a stressor, and then also mental stressors and pressure and all of that, that leads to inflammation in a way. So the next thing I would say, and we're going to dive into all of this, I'm just giving quick little points in the beginning so that you can understand it and kind of get to the area I want to lead you to. So the next thing I want to say is sugar, processed foods, things like that, like refined flours, things that have been processed a few times, the ingredients that they do add, it can trigger like inflammation responses in the body because they're a little bit far removed from a whole food source. And we'll go into food and stuff in the episode as well. So things also like seed oils, if you ever hear that, we're going to debunk it and talk a little bit about it. So seed oils are things like canola and soybean oil that are hidden in a lot of packaged foods. Next up, alcohol and nicotine can also trigger inflammatory responses in our bodies. And I'm not going to sit here and tell you not to do all these things. I'm just going to explain a little bit of information and then more practical ways that we can work with this. So when inflammation becomes chronic, it can lead to some pretty significant effects. So let me just get this out of the way. It can lead to persistent pain or feeling tired all the time, mood changes like depression and anxiety, and even getting sick more often because stress and inflammation correlate with the immune system. And heart health is also another thing that is affected by this. But again, don't worry, I'm not sharing this to frighten you. I'm sharing it because I want you to understand what's happening in our bodies. And that's kind of the first step to making these positive changes. So in just a moment, we're going to dive into some super practical, simple swaps and habits that can reduce inflammation and help you feel more energetic, improve your mood, get better skin. This is literally how I've been fixing my acne. Like my acne, I realized a lot of my issues were inflammation related, which is so annoying because I spent years going to dermatologists where they just kept trying to put me on like Accutane or birth control, or I'd go to literally a facial place and she'd be like, So, do you like eat a lot of chocolate chip cookies? Like, that might be what's making you break out. So, I went through a whole journey with that. I'll share a little bit about things to help with the skin and just overall feeling better. The best part is that most of these changes are free or very low cost, and they're doable for anyone. And I'm also going to go into food swaps, like specific food swaps. So, if you want to take notes, and supplements I like, and more. So if you are new here, welcome back to the Happy Hippie Podcast. This is the show that we explore all the ways you can add more happiness into your life, mind, body, and soul holistically. We basically talk about all the things that are going to change your life. So I'm your host, Amanda McCormack. I am a registered yoga teacher, certified personal trainer and nutrition coach, and I'm also a women's coaching specialist. So welcome. Each week we're going to talk about new topics. Sometimes we have meditations and guest interviews. All of this information is just so that you can start living your best life. Now that we're back, let me share with you some key practices that dramatically reduced my inflammation and can help you too. This is also scientifically based. I'm going to give you a bunch of cool information, so hopefully you learn something. Let me know if you like this episode. Again, my Instagram is happyholistichippie, so DM me if this is a topic that was interesting to you. I love to hear from everybody. I'm going to break this down into 8 main areas, and again, when addressed together, they can create a very powerful anti-inflammatory lifestyle for you. So the first thing we're going to talk about, which is something I could do an entire episode on, is blood sugar balance. This was the latest thing in my journey that I incorporated, and truly one of the biggest things that helped with my skin and my energy levels. It's something that's often overlooked. Like I said, even by myself, I was like, okay, what? I don't really think I need to work on blood sugar balance. I'm probably fine because I don't have diabetes or anything like that. That's how I used to think years ago. But it's very crucial, basically. So according to research published in the Journal of Clinical Medicine, maintaining stable blood sugar levels is one of the most effective ways to reduce systematic inflammation in the body. And if you are interested at all in blood sugar balance, definitely check out the book Glucose Goddess. I forget the lady's name. She goes by the Glucose Goddess, but just look up any book that she has. She also has an Instagram page with tons of information. But all it is, at the end of the day, it's not cutting out sugar. It's not cutting out carbs or anything like that. It's being mindful of how you eat your carbs and how you eat your sugars, and working with the timing and working with some little hacks with other ingredients to make it digest better in your body and you feel better. So I eat some of the same things. I just eat things a little differently or eat something different in the day before it. So I'll explain. A good example of this is taking fiber or apple cider vinegar before meals slows glucose absorption. So basically when we eat, like, I'm going to break it down the best I can off the top of my head, but again, I recommend the Glucose Goddess books for a great breakdown on this that's a little bit more thorough. When we eat anything that breaks down into a simple carbohydrate, which would be anything from like breads, starches, and sugars, like anything that you can think of that has those three things, eventually they're going to break down to a form of glucose. And the body absorbs glucose very fast. And when it absorbs it very fast, it causes a glucose spike. It causes your levels to spike up fast and then crash, which is why sometimes when we eat sugar, or little kids will eat sugar, and you think about how they get like a sugar rush and then it crashes and you get tired. Or if you eat a really big meal, and then all of a sudden you feel really lethargic afterwards, that's because of your glucose going up really high and then spiking dramatically. Because the higher it goes up, the more it's going to spike. It's going to drop eventually. And the bigger the drops chronically, like over time, can lead to inflammation in the body. So it can lead to your body having a bit more of a response to it. So having fiber before a meal, when you eat fiber, which I'll explain examples of what you can eat and how that works, eat it first, and you think of your body like a sink, like your tummy is like a sink, and you eat fiber first. What fiber does is it creates like this mesh lining around your belly, like inside of it on the bottom. So now when you eat the same exact thing you're gonna have a cookie, you're gonna have a piece of bread, whatever, but if you have a source of fiber right before you eat the carbs, it creates this mesh in your like theoretical sink in your body, and it's gonna slowly, like a clogged drain, it's gonna slowly allow the bread or glucose that it now became to trickle out of the stomach at a much slower rate. And what that does is it reduces that really quick shooting up of a glucose spike. So it makes it a much gradualer hill, I guess. Like if you're looking at it like a graph, instead of eating something made of sugar and glucose in the body going voop and spiking very quick, it's going to take longer to get there, to get to that high point, because of the mesh fiber it has to get through at the bottom of your theoretical sink. And then that means in turn that the drop won't be as big. So I hope I explained that okay. That was off the top of my head. Kind of hyped I remembered all that. But having fiber before your meals allows the glucose to break down much slower, and you'll have more energy. First of all, like, if you do this, you will feel in your body much more energetic. You won't feel as lethargic after you eat things. And you can also do this with apple cider vinegar. Apple cider vinegar has a similar result where it allows the glucose to be broken down at a much slower rate, but for a different reason. The reason why is anything with vinegar, it doesn't have to be apple cider vinegar. It could be any type of vinegar or like acidic thing like vinegar. Fermented foods is another example. If you have that before you eat your meal, which I literally do this every morning. At the moment, I've been eating like pickled carrots, or I will have just carrots because, like I just explained, carrots have a large amount of fiber in them. So if I literally just sit there and snack on like 5 or 6 carrot sticks before I eat breakfast with like bread and things like that, I feel so much better, and it's helped with my spikes. But I eat pickled carrots, which is like a win-win, because not only does it have fiber, but it has the vinegar in it as well. So like I was saying, vinegar allows the glucose to be broken down a lot slower as well. So what it does is when you put vinegar in your mouth, it releases an enzyme that speeds up digestion called alpha amylase, and it comes out of your mouth. It's kind of like when your mouth waters. And what that does is it breaks down the glucose. Well, it kind of like tells the body to break down the glucose differently. So it won't go straight down to your stomach and like spike. It breaks it down differently because of that enzyme. That's what the key is. It's basically any type of vinegar, it releases the alpha amylase in the mouth, and at the end of the day, it slows the spikes. That's all you really need to know. So it's really cool to be able to do that, because that's very accessible. If you're out at a restaurant, you can just try to eat your salad first, or if there's veggies, just pick at the veggies first and then you can eat your big meal. You can do it whenever you can in increments, but it really does help with the blood sugar balance, which again helps with the overall inflammation in the body. And you may have heard the term insulin resistance, which comes up with diabetes, it comes up with PCOS, endometriosis, all of those things. But at the end of the day, insulin resistance causes major inflammation in the body due to all the insulin spikes. So that's a good hack to help with it. So eating greens at meals, studies do show that it could reduce post-glucose spikes by up to 30% by just having like a side salad first. Or I like carrots because carrots have fiber, and fiber is what matters. It doesn't have to be a green veggie per se. Another cool thing, if you're just in a space where you don't have any of these ingredients near you, or maybe you just ate out at a restaurant, taking short walks like after eating, like even just 10 minutes can make a really big difference, because it also kickstarts the digestive process and helps your body break it down at a slower and more controlled rate. So just taking a 10 minute walk after you eat can really, really help. Google it. There are so many studies on it. It's not just me saying it. Incorporating protein and like healthy fats when you have carbs, so like dressing up your carbs so you're not just eating a snack alone, can also help. But again, these are just things that help. You don't have to strictly live like this, because that would be like unbearable. Like if you want to have a treat, or if you want to have something that's mostly carbohydrates, you can have it. You totally can. It's all about reducing the chronic spikes. So consistent spikes in your week to week basis of living, you know, when you can just try to put these hacks in. And the last thing I have for blood sugar balance is never skipping breakfast, because breakfast really does set your metabolic rhythm for the day, and we'll go into a little bit about breakfast later on too. Number two on the list to help with inflammation is daily detoxing. And when I say detox, I'm not talking about like extreme measures or like juice cleanses or anything like that. I'm talking about supporting your body's natural detoxification systems, like your liver and your lymphatic system. They're key players in managing inflammation. So some habits that you can implement are dry brushing, which stimulates lymphatic flow in the body, and it's so nice. It's like a physical exfoliant. You can get a dry brush very affordably, like at CVS or anywhere you can go. And there's tons of tutorials on TikTok and like Pinterest and things that can show you how to do it. But all you're doing is just brushing your body a few times in one direction. And again, it stimulates your lymphatic flow. Another really, really fun way is rebounding or literally gentle jumping. And the weirdest part is NASA has research on this too, but it can increase your lymphatic flow by 15 to 30 times. So what I do in the morning sometimes is before I do my gua sha, because I don't actually use a gua sha, I use my hands, but I do like a facial lymphatic massage. And before I do that, what I'll do is I'll like pump my lymphs by the bottom of my neck and my collarbone. Like I'll pump them a few times, and I'll pump the side of my face by my jaw, my nose, and my under eyes. then what I'll do is I will jump up and down. Like, I'll play a song and just kind of jump dance in my bathroom for like a few minutes. One, it wakes you up. It gets me moving really early and gives me some energy and you feel really good, but it helps get the lymphatic system going. That's why they have a lot of those trampoline workouts at gyms. Like, if you want to jump on a trampoline or jump around in your room, or it doesn't have to be jumping, but it's the movement where you're coming up and off the ground, any type of exercise like that, it's really good. Again, 15 to 30 times, it increases your lymphatic flow. It's really good for if you have a desk job and you're just like sitting all day, or you live a lifestyle where it's a bit more sedentary, adding in those periods to help kind of stimulate the lymph is really good for helping inflammation. Red light therapy is another good tool, whether it be face mask red light therapy or a body tool or a mat. Red light therapy, I can talk about forever. I actually have a resource I want to share. So instead of wasting a lot of time talking about it, I'll put it in the description to check out. And I also do have a red light mask I've been using that has helped with my skin tremendously. And I'm going to link that below as well if you want to look into red light therapy as a solution to help with inflammation and detoxing your body. Another great way is sauna sessions or doing any type of heated exercise like hot yoga flows. So good to like sweat things out of your body. You can also add chlorophyll or glutathione rich foods or a glutathione supplement. Glutathione is an antioxidant that helps with your liver. So you can add those foods to your diet as well. And the last thing is castor oil packs, which is like an ancient practice, but it has a lot of modern benefits. And you can buy like a wrap for less than $10 on Amazon. And I have a big thing of castor oil that I get from Whole Foods and it lasts a really long time. So you can do that. And I know with castor oil packs, you want to start with like 10-minute sessions and then 20-minute sessions. And then some people even sleep with them on. But those are really cool things to look into if you're interested in detoxing anything from your body. Number three is the thing I basically started the episode with, stress. So stress management. And research from the American Psychological Association shows that chronic stress is like 100% directly related to increasing inflammatory markers in the body. So a lot of this is backed by science. And having unbalanced cortisol is what is the response in your body that happens when you're really stressed. So when it's unbalanced, it can create issues in your gut and over time lead to hormonal imbalances. So I'm going to explain some things that I like to do and that science backs up as well for managing stress. And I've talked about these in other episodes. And again, I feel like every time I bring up a point on this show, I'm like, I could do a whole episode on this, but it is very true. So these are some things to manage stress. Breath work changes your nervous system response. So even sitting down and doing long breaths in and out, it can really help. So doing an exhale, this is a quick little hack that you can do, and you can do this anywhere you are. You can do it in the bathroom. You can do it while you're walking somewhere, when you're walking away from a stressful event. When you exhale, if you double your exhale, it actually calms the body down. So breathing in through the nose for like 3 seconds and then making the exhale about 6 seconds, or breathing in for 4 and exhaling for 8 are two examples. The reason being is, think back to when we were like nomadic tribe people and we used to have to run away from like tigers or something that was going to kill us. Our body would shift into fight or flight mode. And most of the time it would be flight. So we'd take flight, we'd run away from whatever it was that was going to attack us, right? So this was our body going into what's called the sympathetic nervous system. So that's the part of the body that is activated and it makes you like tense up and give it your all to just like get out of that situation, okay? And whenever that happened and we were running away from like a tiger or a person trying to kill us back in the day, and we escaped and we lived and we made it, the first thing that we would do is let out a big sigh, like a big breath. We'd be like, and what that does is it signals the brain, the sigh, the physical long exhale, which is all that pent up stress, like physically leaving the body. What that sigh does is it signals the body to switch back into the other nervous system function, which is the rest and digest function or the parasympathetic nervous system. So that's why a lot of breath work and meditations do involve very long exhales or sighing the breath out with the mouth, because it activates that part of our brain, because our brain hasn't evolved much from that state. That's why we get into fight and flight when we literally like see somebody with road rage or just driving somewhere and you get pissed off by somebody. Like our brain is made to like go into that state very easily, and it's cued by the exhale to soften. So a really cool thing is using breath work to help manage your stress and calm yourself down. And you can easily do that by practicing a tactic of breathing in for whatever amount of time and then doubling the exhale. And you can try it for like 5 to 10 breaths, just like walking somewhere, breathing in for 3 and then exhaling and counting the exhale, making sure it's 6 seconds, and just doing it a few times and seeing how you feel. That's a really good breathwork technique. But any other type of regular breathwork that you'd like to do totally is a great tool to help with stress management. Meditation and mindfulness practices are also great tools, as we know. I have tons of resources for meditations. I have meditations on this podcast. I post meditations on YouTube, and I also have them on Inside Timer. I'm trying to get more in Inside Timer too. I've been all over the place, but I have some free resources, but there's also tons of apps and YouTube out there that you can find meditations to guide yourself, or you can learn how to do meditations without any guide at all and just take a moment to notice your thoughts and notice your body and where you are. But they're such great tools. Again, you can combine meditation and mindfulness practices with affirmations, which again can literally rewire your brain. And 2 episodes back, I have an entire episode talking about all meditation, mindfulness, and affirmations and how those can help you with your stress management. So feel free to check out that episode. I think it's episode 48. The next thing you can also do is therapy or any type of somatic healing. Those are things that can really help manage stress in your life. And the last thing is understanding your vagus nerve. It's basically like the superhighway of your nervous system. I do have another episode where I talk a lot about your brain and how, oh my gosh, I don't know what episode it is, but I will find it and I will put it in the show notes as well. But the vagus nerve is something very cool. If you want to go down that rabbit hole on like TikTok and learn how it works, you can learn how to like hack your body, almost like biohack your body to recover from stress a lot quicker. Next up, we're going to switch to nutrition. I do have an entire section where we're going to dive into literal swaps. So I am just going to talk some points on nutrition and kind of move on, and we'll come back to it. But 4 is protein and healthy fats to help with inflammation. And we can talk like numbers here, like aiming for roughly 100 grams of protein daily, broken down into about 30 to 40 grams per meal, really, really helps. And studies show that it helps with not only inflammation, but it supports muscle maintenance and repair. And a cool hack you can do also is making sure that your breakfast is a protein powerhouse. That was so hard for me to get out. I don't know why. But when you include a lot of protein in your breakfast, it sets the tone for the day, and it also sets how your body is just like accustomed to food coming in. So once it's satisfied in the morning, it'll just be fuller a lot longer. And again, eating more protein and fats instead of carbs will keep your blood sugar more balanced, or eating protein and fats with carbs will help keep your blood sugar more balanced and your gut less inflamed overall. 5 is exercise. So exercise is incredible for reducing inflammation, but again, I've mentioned this before, not in excess. So you always hear people talk about Pilates and like low impact workouts, and you'll hear about cortisol. Okay, so research does show that moderate exercise releases anti-inflammatory compounds, and they are called cytokines. I might have mispronounced it, but it's spelled cytokines. And the reason I mispronounce it is because I know them as hope molecules. They're basically like very similar to endorphins, and that's why you feel really good after you work out, and why people joke around about how they need to work out or they'll go crazy, is because those are actually like feel good hormones and receptors and compounds in your brain that make you feel like you're on top of the world. Exercise helps with balancing cortisol and boosting the endorphins, and it also helps promote blood flow, which helps our lymphatic system, which also goes back to 2 when I was talking about detoxing. So exercise is really good for that. Now, people do say that low impact workouts don't spike cortisol, and that's why they should do it, and they're like, oh, don't weightlift. Well, I'm gonna debunk all of it for you. So yes, low impact workouts like Pilates are very good for you, because they, in many ways, strengthening and working on flexibility when you look at it from that lens, but it doesn't spike as much cortisol. Cortisol is something, like I mentioned earlier, your body like is gonna do it all the time. It's a stress response. Whenever there's any type of stress, physical, mental, whatever, it does release that hormone. So the thing is, you just wanna make sure that you're not doing excess stress on the body, like overworking out basically. You can lift weights, you can do HIIT, you can run. People are always like, oh, don't do those. Do what makes you happy, because in general, that's what's gonna make you go to the gym and gonna make you do exercise that you enjoy. But just make sure you're not pushing yourself to the brink of failure every single day. Can you hear that wind? I wonder if it's picking up on the mic. Anyway, you don't want to push yourself to literally failure daily or doing a HIIT workout 7 days a week. If you want to do HIIT, do it. If you want to run, run. But just make sure you're not pushing yourself every single day. Like, you do need a rest day, and you do need to look at the type of exercise you're doing and notice if it is, like, really, really intense, and see how you can make that work for you, because you really do need to work, focus on recovery, which is going to come up in a few seconds, little spoiler. But yeah, you can still do any type of exercise, because like I said, all those points, it's so good for you. We know this though. But yeah, just making sure you're not doing anything in excess. You're not doing anything because you think you have to, like excess cardio to become a certain way, because that's not how exercise science works anyway. You do need stress on your body for your muscles to change, grow, and adapt, but you want to make sure you're not pushing yourself to like craziness. Another good thing, yoga. I can mention that, me being a yoga teacher, I'm like, guys, have you ever tried yoga? It's amazing for both the body and mind, and it's a really good thing for stress levels, and it's also great for just like feeling good in your body. And like I said, movement you actually enjoy, because consistency is key, and you want to do something that you're going to enjoy, just making sure that you are taking rest. Number six is focusing on whole foods. So instead of thinking about what can I eliminate, let's focus on what you can add. That's what I wanted you to take away from this episode. Okay, so obviously increasing your fruits and veggies are going to be good for you, but there are certain foods that are, they have anti-inflammatory properties, and these are the ones that came from a research study from Harvard Medical School. So leafy greens, Brussels sprouts, cauliflower, beets, tomatoes, carrots, ginger, and garlic are natural anti-inflammatories as well. So when you cook with them, it does add those properties and like infuses that into your meals. Anything that is high in omega-3s or high fiber is going to be very good for keeping inflammation down in the body. Using spices like turmeric, cinnamon, oregano, and cayenne are also going to be great. And I do have a whole section on food swaps, like exact food swaps that we're going to get to in like 5 minutes. So hang on, we got two more bullet points to get through in this section. Number seven is quality sleep and recovery, which goes into what I was saying with exercise a few moments ago. So sleep isn't just rest. It's when your body does all of the repair work, okay? So studies show that even one night of poor sleep can increase inflammatory markers, and the immune system needs sufficient quality sleep to heal inflammation and also just work properly and protect your body. So things to do when it comes to sleep. Just focus on creating a consistent sleep routine. I'm actually in the works of making a very detailed post, like a swipe post for Instagram, on some things to help with that. So stay tuned. That should be coming out this week if you want some sleep tips. The next thing is not overtraining. Like I said, 7 days a week at the gym is not the goal. Recovery needs to happen when you're working out and using your muscles. That's when you're breaking down the muscle fibers, and for actual physical muscle growth to happen or any type of adaptation, it has to happen in the phase when your body's recovering, which is why you need to eat protein. You need to fuel yourself with like water and electrolytes and be able to like sleep and not have days where you're like moving all the time, because your body needs that time to recover. And another thing is like setting boundaries in general, like giving yourself, it's good for recovery, but it's also good for just knowing that, hey, like, I need to set boundaries with the gym. I can't go there today. Or I need to set boundaries because I keep going out every weekend and I need a day off. Or I've been doing too much. I've been running around. Or if you're like a mom and you have 100 tasks, like making a small amount of time for yourself, like setting a boundary where you can have time to recover and relax and do some self-care, like that's going to really help you when it comes to inflammation and stress. And number eight is hydration and mineral balance. So hydration, I don't just mean water. We do need electrolytes and minerals for proper hydration at a cellular level. So here are some of my favorite combinations and supplements and different things I like. So magnesium malate is crucial for over 300 bodily functions, but it really does help the body get almost like a boost of energy. And I'll talk about it in a minute, but there's like these things called adrenal cocktails, because when your adrenals get stressed, sometimes it needs different vitamins and minerals to replenish itself when it's in a state of chronic stress. And magnesium malate is really good for giving you energy without actually taking caffeine. I've cut out a lot of caffeine. Like, I don't drink much caffeine anymore. I either use yerba mate or green tea in the form of matcha. So basically just tea based. But when I don't drink those, magnesium malate gives me energy. Like, it gives you like this boost of feel good energy. So if you're looking to kind of wean off caffeine, it's a really good alternative. And you have to take my word on it. I know I sound crazy telling you that magnesium, this type of magnesium is like better than coffee, but hear me out. Give it a shot. Next up is vitamin C, because when your adrenals are depleted, which your adrenals get depleted over time with stress, vitamin C is the number one vitamin that they need. So high vitamin C does help. And then sodium and potassium based drinks help as well. Anything like Element, which is a really good electrolyte brand, or even coconut water that has a high amount of potassium, they help replenish and keep you hydrated. So an adrenal cocktail basically is a drink that has potassium, it has sodium, it has vitamin C in it, and it's going to give you that boost. So coconut water mixed with either orange juice or cherry juice. Then you add two other things. Then you're going to add a pinch of salt. And if you have it, you can add cream of tartar, which you'll find it in the baking and spice section. It is just basically a really high, amount of potassium in it. So if you don't like coconut water, because coconut water has potassium and electrolytes, you can just do like orange juice and then cut it with like sparkling water and then add cream of tartar and a pinch of salt. And that's going to hydrate you from the inside out. I also have been taking the Live Healthily Minerals and Chill. So it's a packet where all of these ingredients are in it. And she made up this packaged version so that you don't have to constantly drink like the juice. It's supposed to be like a low sugar version of an adrenal cocktail. And I can vouch for it, like 100%. Nobody sponsors me except myself on this podcast. And it is a great drink. And it's very handy. And I drink it at work all the time. And it's great. And I've used it instead of caffeine, because again, it gives me some energy. Now, in hydration, I want to talk about some healing teas. I love teas. And these are specific teas that are really good for keeping inflammation down. So ginger and turmeric, like you said, you can cook with them or you can drink it in a tea blend. Green tea is also packed with antioxidants, which helps the liver. And that's going to help you with detoxification. Chamomile, lemon balm, and peppermint are really good for calming the body and relaxing. So they're good for night. And then if you want like a fun drink that isn't really tea, you can do golden milk, which is the like turmeric and different spices like cinnamon that you can mix together and make a really good golden milk recipe. I love golden milk. And then cacao as well is an antioxidant and can help with inflammatory and stress issues. So those are some really fun drinks and excuses to make yourself a fun cup of tea tonight. Now, I told you we were going to circle back to food. So this is the food section where I have like exact swaps for you. And making simple food swaps can dramatically reduce inflammation in your body. So I love this part because it's not about restriction. It's all about making smarter choices that your body is going to thank you for. So let me share something that I do regularly. I make my own salad dressings at home. And you might be thinking, like, really, that's your tip? But hear me out, okay? So store-bought dressings often contain inflammatory oils. Like, it does kind of suck. Like, some of my favorite brands, I'll go back and I'll see that it's, like, all great ingredients. And then it's, like, based in canola oil, which at the end of the day, again, you can have it. Like, you can have it. But I just try when I can not, like, to go for something a little better. So I can make my own vinaigrettes at home. And it's really fun. It's healthier, but it's also super fun. And I usually meal prep a big batch of one or two different dressings each week. And honestly, it's like become a little ritual where I like browse on Pinterest and TikTok for new dressing recipes and then make them. And I also make copycat recipes of like sweet green dressings and things like that. It's really fun. It's a fun excuse for you to get creative and try something else. And again, we're not aiming for perfection here. So my next tip is, you know, like the 80-20 rule. If you want to focus on that, that's a really good way to get started with this. I don't want you to get very restrictive and hear all of this information to be like, I have to cut all these things out. It's all about like, if your diet is roughly like 80% of nourishing and anti-inflammatory, you're setting yourself up for long-term like health and success. So these are some other tips that you can like swap out, okay? Beverages. We're going to talk bevies. The first is, instead of regular soda, I am definitely like an Olipop and a Poppy girly. So love to swap out. I actually don't drink that much soda, so I can't lie. It probably is easier for me. But Olipop and Poppy are my two go-tos. If I want like flavor and fizz with a meal or just by itself, those are my girls. And also, Evolution came out with these really good probiotic sodas. They're in Whole Foods, and there's a strawberry cream one, and it's to die for. So if you see that, try it out. You can also get creative and make your own like sparkling water concoctions. So sometimes I'll buy sparkling water and then I'll mix my own like different flavors with them, whether it be like packets of stuff I have or fruit juice, lime juice, and then like a sweetener. Or you can use like adaptogen drops and make it like really fun. But I try to switch out all of the store-bought sodas for anything that I can make or get at like Whole Foods. Then energy drinks. Energy drinks do usually contain a lot of like gut-disrupting ingredients. They use a lot of artificial sweeteners, which cause anti-inflammatory reactions in the tummy. So again, I switch for Yerba Mate or matcha. And again, my personal favorite is an adrenal cocktail. Try it. If you try one thing, try that, okay? Now for cooking and food prep, replacing anti-inflammatory seed oils with options when you cook that are a little bit better, such as like grass-fed butter, like Kerrygold butter, beef tallow, avocado oil, olive oil, coconut oil. Avocado oil is really good to cook with because it has a very high burn point. You can turn that heat up to like over 400 degrees and it doesn't really change the oil, so it won't give it a taste or anything. Olive oil you can cook with, but olive oil isn't always the best at the highest heats. But it's really good for like dressing and drizzling things, or if you're cooking something on like a low heat, and coconut oil as well. So, and like I said, instead of store-bought dressings, try your own vinaigrettes out. I can give you some recipes if you were interested. We can recipe swap. And another thing is like French fries that are like fried in oil or anything. Sometimes I'll just try to like make my own or air fry them or bake them. I think that's like my last cooking tip. Grains and bread is the next thing I want to talk about. Instead of regular white bread or even wheat bread, like whole wheat is sometimes pitched as a quote-unquote healthier option. And again, I'm not trying to demonize bread. You can enjoy your bread. Sourdough is just a better bread for digestion. Your body digests it better. It's been the bread that humans have been making for a very long time. And a lot of the store-bought breads, like white bread and whole grain breads, they sometimes, even if they're whole grain, they're kind of like ultra processed, so because of that they can disrupt your gut and upset your tummy, which causes inflammation. So try sourdough when you can, you know. And if you are craving like pasta or like pastries, looking for options that just break down better in the body, because they do break down into sugar really quickly. So it's just something to know. Again, I'm not trying to scare you with it, because like I eat all these things, but it's just when you can, you know. So try switching to whole grain, such as quinoa, any quinoa based product, quinoa pastas, they have tons of those, oats, brown rice. Your body will just digest them much slower, which means your blood sugar will be better. And this has helped with my acne tremendously. Like it really has. It's helped with my skin. I feel like I'm a little bit more, like my skin just looks a lot better because I've been eating this way, which is how I know these things are working, because I suffered with like really bad acne and dark spots for the past, like, I gotta do math to figure out how old I am, but I've had acne since I was 12 and it just like hasn't stopped. Like I'm literally like gonna, I'm like, ooh, I go crazy. I feel like I'm like, it's crazy. Anyway, so that's why my skin is a big thing for me. Like when I can see changes in my skin, I'm like, okay, something is actually working from the inside out, because something has had to been up for the past like 15 years for my skin to be, it's not 15 years, is it? I can't do math, honestly, guys. I'm not a math person. But it has to be something from the inside out that's been affecting my acne for me to have it this long. So when I noticed that, when I started working on blood sugar and all these anti-inflammatory things, and my skin literally changed, and it's never changed, and it's been years, I was like, something is actually working, okay? That's why I'm sharing. And even small changes like swapping like a protein bar that's ultra processed for like beef jerky can make a difference, you know. These swaps don't have to happen all at once. Start with one or two things that feel manageable and like build up from there, because your body will notice a difference, and honestly you might find something new that you like along the way. And here is the last part. This is like rapid fire tips and habits that didn't really fit into the above section. It didn't fit into the food section, and it didn't fit into my 8 points. So we're just going to talk about additional lifestyle habits that can make a huge difference in reducing inflammation. When buying your veggies or fruits, checking out a farmer's market is always so fun. Like I just love going and looking at everything, but usually you get really good sourced quality local ingredients from the from your farmer's market. So you can find really good quality vegetables, and you can go and try something new each week and kind of make it fun. You're kind of gamifying your food shopping experience. So definitely recommend farmer's markets. And also, they're not just about getting fresh produce. It's really cool. You get to connect with your community and you understand where your food comes from. So it's a mindful approach to food shopping, which can also reduce stress levels and make healthy eating much more enjoyable. Nature is a very powerful anti-inflammatory tool. Spending time outside, whether it's like a morning walk or like gardening in the afternoon, it's been shown to lower cortisol levels and reduce the inflammatory markers in the body. And it also just connects us with being present. When you're in nature, you're just like naturally more mindful and connected to the moment, because that's the way it's supposed to be. We're not like trapped between four walls, you know? Moving on to meal prepping. Like meal prepping healthy snacks at the beginning of the week isn't just about convenience, it's about setting yourself up for success. You know, it's like reducing the stress of daily food decisions, which cuts some stress out of your life when you have it ready. I know I feel so much better when I have like my own, like when I come home and I'm like, yes, I know I'm like fully stocked. Like I don't have to worry about like figuring out what I'm going to eat, which is really great. So, and again, combined with practices like maybe a lunchtime mindful eating, like taking time to be mindful when you're eating your lunch, you're creating a lifestyle that just like naturally supports lower inflammation levels, which can't beat that. And the importance of consistency can't be overstated, okay? Keeping a regular routine, whether again it's like a regular nighttime routine, your sleep schedule, your meals, your self-care practices, it helps regulate your body's natural rhythms. So in making time for practices like cold plunges or sauna sessions, which are, like I mentioned, very beneficial to stress on the body, it can help reduce inflammation over time. And the last thing I would want to say is like, almost the most important thing is finding joy in your life isn't just nice to have. It's also essential for you just feeling good and reducing stress and inflammation. So when you engage in activities or try to discover activities that bring you genuine happiness, your body produces natural inflammatory compounds. It's almost like your body wants you to be happy, which it does. And this can be through cooking at home or doing something where you're going out and finding a new workout class, anything like that, exploring. It can be a way that you find joy and it can just help lower stress levels in your life. Another thing could be taking probiotics, whether that's through like live probiotics like kefir or coconut yogurt, or just getting a probiotic can really help support your digestion, which can make stress easier inside your body, or practicing regular self-care before like reaching a point of burnout. Just making sure that you're introducing self-care into your week and you're not just waiting till like you're super stressed to do it. Like you never take a bath or anything, but making it a weekly practice will help prevent these things. So yeah, I think that's it. These aren't just wellness trends. These are all scientifically backed things that can work together to help you create a lifestyle that really naturally supports your body's anti-inflammatory processes. And again, I'd say the biggest thing is the key is to start small, you know, perhaps one or two practices resonate with you and build from there. I'm going to throw some great resources down below in the information of the episode to check out other episodes that may help or links to anything that may be useful or interesting to you about this whole topic. And the last thing I really do want to say, this is our 50th episode. 50 episodes is actually crazy that I've sat here 50 times and made episodes and you've liked them. So I'm very grateful for anyone who listens or anyone who has reached out and chatted on Instagram or given me ideas that I can use to help create more content for you. Like, I love doing this podcast. I really do. It's like my passion project. I love it so much. And I have all this information in my head all the time. And it's just so fun to speak into the mic. And I'm glad that people resonate with it. Like, it lights me up so much. So the reason I'm yapping about it is because I am doing a contest. I'm giving something away. So to celebrate, it's going to be on Instagram. So my Instagram is at HappyHolisticHippie. To celebrate 50 episodes, I'm going to give away a $50 Amazon gift card. I felt like that was the best thing to do because 50 and 50. Also, I can digitally send the gift card to anyone all over the world. So no matter where you listen, I believe you can enter this. I'm pretty sure I can. And it's just easier than me creating something and sending you a prize. I figured it's going to be a digital gift card. So a $50 Amazon gift card. The way it's going to work is I'm putting a post up on my Instagram, and all you're going to have to do is just make sure you're following my Instagram, again, Happy Holistic Hippie. Like the post when I put it up, because I'm going to put it up right after I upload this episode. So all you got to do is like it and follow, and then share your favorite episode of the Happy Hippie podcast to your story. It could be any episode that you've enjoyed in the past. It could be this episode. It's kind of fun if you want to go back and find an episode that maybe you didn't listen to. But just want to share your favorite episode to your story and then just make sure you tag me so I see it. And yeah, it's kind of fun. You get to inspire others because you're going to share an episode that was very beneficial for you. And then someone else can find it from your page and they'll be able to get inspired. So it's kind of like an indirect act of kindness for somebody else. And like I said, it's cool because you can personalize it and pick your episode. And I'd love to also see what your favorite episode was. So it's a little bit of like research for me to be like, okay, cool. I'm so happy that like people like this topic or whatever. And yeah, so that's the contest. And then I'm pretty sure I'll do like a bonus entry where you can like tag a friend in the comments of the original post and get like a second entry, but you don't have to do that. But you can if you want an extra entry. And I think I'm gonna run this contest for about 2 weeks. Maybe three, but it should be 2 weeks. And then I'll do it on my story. I'll show you picking the winner live. So again, my Instagram is Happy Holistic Hippie. All you got to do is head to the page, find the post, give it a thumbs up and make sure you're following. And then just share your favorite episode of the Happy Hippie Podcast to your story and tag me so I can see it. And you will automatically be entered to win a $50 Amazon gift card. It's very minimal work. If you're listening to the podcast and you enjoy it anyway, it's just like sharing an episode you would weekly, and you can possibly win $50 on Amazon. So that is it from me this week. Thank you again. I really am grateful. I can talk about it forever, but I won't keep you here for listening. And yeah, I hope you have a wonderful day, and I will see you next week where we're going to be doing another topic. It's going to be nutrition based as well. Have a beautiful day.